Hello, everybody. Brady Guzet again, and we're back with you with Lara from conversations we've been having over the last few weeks. Last week, we looked at the solidification of the spirit, the transition of ideas through onto art, and the path that that makes. And I gave you advance warning of this week's one, which was the world of titles, how the artists and why artists use spurious, occasionally they use spurious descriptions of their work in order to either trip us up or whatever else it might be. I'm not sure what the process is. In Lara's work, it's very specific. She'll have portrait one in gold, portrait two in gold, and the like. So I don't think she goes down that road. But from an artist's point of view, and also from using her psychologist's point of view, is why people would do that in terms of pointing people in the direction is something that I want to explore. So back for our next episode, will you please welcome the wonderful Lara Barsley. Lara, hello.
Hello, Brody.
Okay, so I can go into a gallery and I can look at a piece of work and it's called Bridal Veil on a Wet Tuesday. And I'm looking at a big black square with a red dot in the middle. And somebody has said it's great, which is why it's hanging in a gallery. And I struggle with that. Am I supposed to struggle with it? Is that all part of the annoying plan? Or is that the artistic elite playing with us? Or is it important and serious to the work itself?
Well, if there's a red dot in the middle of it, then hopefully that red dot means it's sold. And if it's sold, then it's very important and serious. In terms of your question, which I hear as, are they trying to play with my head? Yes, I think they are.
Do you think, is it necessary? Is that part of the artist, the trip?
You know what, I think me answering this question is going to get me in hot water, but my sense, my understanding or even lack of understanding of postmodern art is that it is all about being clever. It's all about influencing the viewer's perception in a particular way or throwing them back on themselves through encouraging them to explore their concepts, either by channeling their concepts down a particular way, which might be quite nonsensical, like I have no idea what a veil and Wet Tuesday has got to do with a red dot on the black canvas, and you're sitting there pondering everything and then you realise you don't know anything about anything, including yourself, and you're enlightened, or you go and jump off a building. But, you know, whatever it is, that there is some sort of way in which the artist is trying to impact on their audience. As you've indicated, it's not my thing.
You don't do that.
No, I don't do that. No, I'm creating something and then I'm wanting the viewer to, I guess, and this is going to sound really naff, but feel a feeling in themselves, in their own heart, I guess.
I don't think it's fair that you say that's naff. I don't think that's fair at all. I think it's, from what some of the work that I've, not of your work, but other work, I think when artists play with you, I think it's insulting. And you don't do that. I think you, by what you say about the work, what it is, and add to it, that adds to what the work is expressing. I think you're accepting that I'm a human being that deserves a little bit of respect in order just to look at your work. And I don't see that in other works. I find that annoying.
Well, I'm glad you feel that. I think what I'm wanting to do is create the space for the viewer to reflect on themselves and to reflect on the fact that they're alive, and that's not a very small ambition. It's a large ambition. I think you were remarking on one of my works, which was a very large gold leaf panel with rough gold leaf that moves according to the breath. So you breathe, even the slightest little bit of movement, and it's waving away. And in a sense, the expanse of that gold and standing in front of that gold and seeing your breath move the pieces of gold leaf that are roughly adhered to the canvas, my hope is that in that process there's a moment of stillness and awareness of the breath, and in that sense an opportunity to let go of all those concepts of, you know, did I buy the right car, and am I getting my hair done tomorrow, and am I going to look fabulous for, you know, whatever. Whereas some artists are wanting to do the opposite, and it's not my place to judge which is better or worse. I just know what I'm wanting to do, and I also know that a lot of the time that's a lot harder than trying to play with someone's head in a different way.
Well, yes, there's smart art and smart ass, and I think, of course, if you're regarded as smart art, you can turn that to serious financial advantage, can't you?
Yes, well, I think so. I don't know, because I'm not that person, and I certainly don't have that experience around financial advantage. I can't quite comment on that.
But you know where I'm coming from. If you put yourself out there to really stir up the gallery owner or the public or whatever, and be confrontational, that's a hell of a lot easier to sit down and think of something that's confrontational and get right up everyone's nose than it is to do something that is beautifully constructed and carries carries a purity of work.
I think you're absolutely correct there, and I think if we look at, you know, we're exposed to on the media constantly, it's not subtlety. The news isn't subtle. We don't revere subtlety. Our choice in television programs isn't about the subtle. You know, it's as loud and big and rough often. And I guess that's not my particular aesthetic, and I think maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned in that sense of wanting to at least impact positively toward the consciousness of the viewer. That's my aim anyway, to create the opportunity for a reflective, transcendent experience. And that's not everyone's cup of tea, and it's not every artist's aim.
Do you, when you start a work, do you have an imagined title to start with? So, for example, let's assume you said I was going to do a Lady in Red as a painting, for argument's sake. Would you already have something in your mind that says, I'm going to paint a Lady in Red, and it's going to be called Lady in Red, and now that I've said it, it becomes a guiding point for me?
No, that would make me feel quite entrapped in a way.
Right.
I think I feel quite smothered if I went about my work that way. I'm sort of more let's engage with this dance battle thing, relationship, love affair that I have with this particular canvas. And as I said, many of my canvases have, you know, 7 or 8 incarnations over years until I'm happy with them. And so in that case, I like to be the student of the work. And so there's a momentum and energy and a wisdom that comes from the creative process, which as much as I'm doing the creative process, but it's equally doing me, and that sense that I'm transformed by the process and informed by the process. And so to think that I would know what I'm doing before I start would be quite bizarre. Even if I'm doing a portrait, you know, I might do a commission, a portrait, but there's something that happens, you know, that isn't just about, oh, well, this is little Johnny. There's something that I'm wanting to capture in the essence of that person, and I'm guided by the feeling of that.
With your work in that context then, where you explore the work, the work matures, for want of a better description, as you go through that process, do you then suddenly reach an aha moment where everything stops or clicks or works or is affixed in a time place
On a good day, after many years of struggling, that might happen. Right. Yeah. I mean, no, that's what you aim for. It's a feeling when it's finished. You just know it just feels right. And that happens after many feelings of it feeling wrong, that, you know, you finally go, it's not quite right. What's wrong with it? Oh, my gosh, this is just taking forever. It's annoying. And then you finally get to the point of, oh, I'm at peace now when I'm in the presence of that painting. And that's when it's complete.
So when you say you rework, does that mean that you literally just overpaint the whole canvas, or will you tend to say, oh no, I think I'll just change her eyes, or it's her chin, or I'll move the hand? Or
I think there's variations of reworking. I mean, with a portrait, again, you're guided by a visual image, particularly if you're wanting to do a more realistic portrait, that it somehow represents the person that you're painting. So you're able to look at that and go, well, the nose is too big, or it doesn't quite, I don't have the feeling of that person coming through. So I'll make, you know, I'll use my analytical mind to be very clear about what aspects of that just aren't quite working or representing that person in the way that I would like. When it's an abstract, it's a much more amorphous sort of process, and in that process
that's all about harmonic, because it's not about the shape of anything.
Absolutely. And it might be color, it might be interaction, it might be movement, it might be texture, and they're the ones that often get completely reworked. You know, just like painted all white or painted all black and start again. Or in the gold leaf ones, a lot of my gold leaf paintings have many paintings underneath them. It's just, let's just put gold leaf all over that and start again.
Well, you could sell your gold leaf paintings by the ounce working on that. Well, that's lovely. Well, that brings us to the end of another conversation for this week. Thank you very much, my dear. Next week, I think I would like to explore art as a salve. And what I mean by that, art as a medicine, an ointment, and how it might be used. So for the moment, it's back to everyone in the studio. And Lara, thank you very much for spending the week with us today.
Thank you, Brady.
And see you next week. This is Brady Guzet saying bye for now.